may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man shall suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Right into the end of the chapter.
So rise for prayer. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have an opportunity that thou has allowed it for us to gather in thy house of prayer and worship. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for your words of life that we had read together. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, you would give our dear brother wisdom from above, that he'd be able to articulate and expound on the scripture that we read together, Father in heaven. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit that gives us inspiration and understanding. We humbly ask that thou wouldst bless us this morning, young and old that have gathered. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thy Holy Spirit would continue to prick hearts, men and women of all ages, to come to that realization that indeed man is in dire need of a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, who made it possible that we could have life in him, life eternal. And Father, we're thankful for these three precious souls that thou hast rescued from the miry clay and has set them upon a rock, Jesus Christ, that they would feel secure and loved and cared for. We thank thee, O Lord, and we just pray that thou wouldst continue to prick many more hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your rich blessing upon our gathering, that thou wouldst bless us indeed, and Father, that we would experience thy love. We pray for those that were not able to gather, the sick and the aged, and those that have desired to have come but that cannot come for whatever reasons, thou knowest all things. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would comfort and strengthen all your children. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thy will would be done this day. We pray for all of thy servants, Lord. We acknowledge our weakness, and we are indeed in this flesh and blood, but we desire to do that which is pleasing unto thee, O Heavenly Father. We pray thou wouldst forgive us and help us, O Father, that we would look to thee for guidance. We thank thee again, Lord, for your blessings. We pray that you would continue to watch over us, protect us from all harm and evil. Help us, O Father, in these last and latter days as we experience the enemy of our soul attacking us in every way. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us discernment, faithfulness, obedience to thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for all your love, and we humbly ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Last night we heard testimonies of three precious souls. And today we will witness, if it's God's will, a watery burial of three souls, of Zachary, Matthew, and Christina, as they have testified that they are dead to sin and they're alive in the Lord. There's been a great transformation in their lives that wasn't of their doing. They were willing to accept this gift, the gift of life. And if we consider the transformation of these three, as many of us had heard the testimony, became broken. And there was a great brokenness in them that God was able to work with through his Holy Spirit. If we consider that baptism is much more than just a emotional endeavor, a selfish pursuit, there's much more depth to it. And that might be the allure. I want to be freed from my burden of guilt. I want to be freed from the fear of death. I want to be right with my God. And that is just the beginning. The beginning of a journey, the beginning of a new life in Christ. You know, when I was a very young man, maybe a teenager, you know, I thought of salvation as something that I can just pick and choose whenever it was convenient for me, and it was like crossing a line. Like I'm on the side of death and hell, but whenever I felt convenient, I can cross this line. Very naive. And it gave me the opportunity to get into very many things that were not good, that took me far from God. When I came to the realization that there was an accountability to every choice I made, it weighed more heavy on me. And we heard the testimony last night of the souls that testified that the darkness, the things that seemed so joyous, were no longer enough. Once you start seeing through the facade, the emptiness, the void, then you realize that what this world has to offer cannot satisfy. It cannot make you complete. It cannot take that burden away from you. It cannot fill that void. And when we consider what we've left behind, the brokenness that we need to come with, the journey that brought us to that point, and the journey ahead. It brought me to this chapter here, because what happens? What happens after we are baptized? What begins with our new life in Christ? It is not a life of ease. It is not a life of comfort. And neither was the process in which these three souls testified that breaking away from the old self, dying to sin, dying to self, was not comfortable, it was not easy, and it wasn't casual. It was something very intense, an intense battle. And that intense battle will continue. And the more Satan has to take away from each and every one of us, the more he wants that. And the stronger the battle will be. And without trying to be discouraging, I want to be encouraging that God's grace is sufficient for us in every step of the way. If we consider what was read in this chapter here, it talks about the old life, the new life, the challenges behind, the emptiness behind, and the challenges ahead. And what would tie into this chapter as well is a couple of verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to do his best, to be his best, to be fully committed. And that's what it's going to take for these three souls, as it will for all the rest of us that have been baptized in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A couple of verses here. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What is a vessel? A vessel could be many things. We are considered a vessel. We can also think of a cup being a vessel. A ship can be a vessel. A boat can be a vessel. And they all have a function, a very distinct function. If a boat or a ship does not have integrity, it will take on water. It's not fit to be a boat. You can't trust it. If a cup is cracked, it will not hold water in. It will leak out. And we've all dealt with broken cups. We look at a cup, it's leaking, get rid of it. Toss it away. It's not fit to be used. It can't fulfill its function. If we consider ourselves as vessels, we hold something. There's something of us, whether we're unconverted or converted. As Apostle Paul stated here in Timothy, 2 Timothy, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And as we heard the testimony of these three souls, they had testified that they were not fit for the kingdom. They were not vessels of honor. To varying degrees, the cracks were larger, but they all had cracks. They could not hold in anything of value. What they were filled with was dishonor. If we think about a vessel, what it holds, it identifies both from the outside and from within. There are two functions of a cup. A cup has a mass to it. It has a function. But what's within it is also important. An empty cup is just an empty cup. What it has in there has value. It should have value. Using that analogy, let's consider what is transpiring this weekend, the transformation of these three souls. They were vessels fit for destruction, not fit for the master's use. And as we read about the things that Peter wrote about our former lives, he spoke directly to us. We all have these characteristics of dishonor. We walked in the things of the Gentiles, the things of the world. We walked in lasciviousness and lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. We had what we thought was fun. We thought we had something worth pursuing. But it didn't last. It came up empty, and it could not sustain us. How many of you today recognize the emptiness of your heart? How many of you can identify the vanity of your life, the lack of value the lack of purpose, the lack of meaning. I remember as a young man, that was very important to me when I realized I did not have a compass, I did not have a direction. I did not understand what my purpose was. And I realized I was like a kite without a tail. I was all over the place. I had no direction. I had no understanding of what my life was for, what the meaning was. And I was empty. I was miserable. And I had to pursue truth. And as we can read in John chapter 3, where Jesus talked to Nicodemus about coming to the light, the men do not come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved, lest they should be identified for who they really are and what they are. Are you willing to come to the light? These three souls, Zachary, Matthew, and Christina, have come to the light. They've come to the truth. And they've come to the reckoning of who they were and the powerlessness that they had, the need for the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away their sins. They were vessels of dishonor, as we all were. And how do we come to the Father? You know, to tie in all these different messages of baptism, the prodigal son coming back broken to his father's house with the realization that he's no longer worthy to be called his son. But he asked to be made a servant. That's brokenness. What is it that makes us dishonorable? Pride, it's lust. Our selfish pursuits, the things that we think are valuable and are empty. What brings us to the Lord? It's a brokenness, a realization. The realization that I've heard more times, as many times as I've talked to converts, as they have gone through repentance, the realization that they cannot overcome on their own. And that's a universal realization. That you can't do it of your own self or your own power. You are powerless. Satan has power over you. You are a slave to sin. And you don't have at least a bit about power about you to be able to break away from that bondage of sin. But Jesus, through his shed blood, has paved the way for salvation, that we can all be reconciled to the Father. And as we go deep and dig deeper into this chapter here, to understand what we left behind, all the excesses of this world that defiled us, that made us dishonorable vessels, the transition to being an honorable vessel required emptying of that vessel, emptying of self. These three have testified that they were filled with things that were not clean, and they needed to be broken as a vessel. They needed to be emptied of self, self-righteousness, pride, self-will, of all the things that Satan had them bound with, that they would become a new creature in Jesus Christ. If we consider what was written in this chapter here, as Peter, as a seasoned man at this point, knew the realities of what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He struggled, and we know that the accounts of Peter, when Jesus told him to feed his lamb, feed his sheep, Jesus asked him if he loved him. The love and service went hand in hand. And he didn't understand what it meant to lose self completely. He compared himself to John to say, "What shall this man do?" We've been called to serve as vessels of honor. But the transition is not easy, as I mentioned earlier. And if we consider the prophet Jeremiah, what he wrote in chapter 18, and also what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 9, speaking about a master potter that's working with vessels of clay. That in Jeremiah 18, read that the vessel that was before the potter was marred. It was imperfect. It wasn't fit for use. It was to be discarded. But what did the master potter do? He remolded it, he reshaped it, reformed it to something that was of value that could be usable. If we consider ourselves in the unconverted state, we are marred. We are imperfect. We're not fit to be used. We lack integrity. We could not hold up to fulfill the things that God would expect from us. We had to be broken, as these three testified that they were broken. And God took over as the master potter to reform them, to reshape them. And today we see a new Christina, we see a new Matthew, we see a new Zachary. They may look similar to how they did in the days past, but there's evidence of something changed. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't know where it came from or where it's going to. But you see the effect. These three are transformed from within. They have a new way of thinking, a new set of values, new processes in their life, things that were not there before. They have forsaken the world, forsaken the joys and the pleasures of this earth to take a cross upon themselves. And it cannot be done without the master reworking, reshaping, reforming. It could not. But God works in us through his Holy Spirit to make us a vessel fit for his work, his service. Which brings us to the 1 Peter chapter 4. Where do we go from here? A new life in Christ. A new commission, a new task. These three are very individual. Their relationship with the Lord is very personal. It's not collective, it's individual. But we work as a body collectively, as part of a body. But we're accountable to God. As we consider what was written here, as Peter talks about being a partaker in Christ's sufferings, is that what we're looking for? Do we want to set this cross off to the side, or are we willing to pick it up? Are we willing to suffer like Jesus did, or do we just want to have this gift of salvation? And like I said earlier, the salvation is not a selfish pursuit. This was the love of God sent down from above. The Son of God coming down to die for each and every one of our sins. What type of pursuit was that? Was it selfish? Absolutely not. It was selfless. In our relationship with the Lord and the relationship with ourselves to salvation is not one of selfishness, but of reciprocal love and reciprocal sacrifice. And that is our calling. That as we have been beautified, fit for the Master's use, we're called to fill these vessels with things that are God glorifying. And these vessels will be sacrificed. And that is our highest calling. Salvation is not to have a life of ease and to live a selfish life, but to remember each day, to die daily, to remember why we have been formed and reformed, created by God into a fallen world, reconciled to the Father by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we could be a vessel of honor used to the Master's service to be sacrificed. And if you think maybe I'm not in for that, there's no greater calling than that, as I mentioned. And we have examples. We have examples that we can look to. And who's our greatest example? It's Jesus Christ. He was a vessel of honor. He glorified the Father, was faithful to him. He was a vessel filled with goodness. He was filled with truth, filled with life. And he gave us the way, the truth, and the life. The way to the Father. And yet in the glory that he left from the Father, he came down as a glorious vessel to be put on the cross, that the integrity of that vessel would be destroyed. Destroyed by thorns, destroyed by nails, destroyed by a sword. And it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured that cross, that each and every one of us could have that hope of salvation, to be reconciled to the Father. And if he in his glory, leaving that glory and coming down to take on the form of man, to be broken as a glorious vessel, the unspotted lamb, to be put on that cross, to be broken. Are we willing to follow his example? We testify that we are baptized in his death and resurrection, pursuing something that is selfless, to God's honor and to his glory. And we know that John the Baptist, being filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, fulfilled his purpose. And his vessel was also destroyed by a sword as he was beheaded. Because of the words of a young girl being told of her mother, Satan has so many different ways to get at us. But are we willing to submit our bodies as vessels of honor to be broken as Christ was broken for us? What is it that we fill these vessels with? And we have more examples. We can go to Acts chapter 6, where in the early church they were looking for men filled with the Holy Spirit. And they found that in 7. And one that stood out amongst them was Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost, identified in the church as someone that was filled with the Holy Spirit. Very evident through his life, his actions, his deeds, something that was above and beyond. He was fit for the Master's use. Do we aspire to be filled with God's Holy Spirit? And if we are, the pursuit of that would not be easy. It's very difficult. And that makes us a greater target for the devil. He wants to break us down. But we know God's grace is sufficient for every challenge. And we know that Stephen was called to fulfill what seemed to be a menial task, to wait on the tables of the widows there in Jerusalem. But he had a much greater calling. As we can read in the following chapter, in Acts chapter 7, that his testimony was not of man, it was of God. Of God's Spirit speaking to him, speaking through him, to convict the hearts of men. And that's our calling. Which brings us back to 1 Peter chapter 4. We don't speak of our own. We speak of the oracles of God. We do not live for ourselves. We live for God. We don't live to glorify ourselves. But through our sufferings, we glorify God. We are to be filled as we have these new transformed vessels, reformed by the Master Potter, that we would strive to fill these vessels with things that would glorify God. If we go back to another parable there of the 10 virgins, they all had vessels that were to hold oil to burn, to show forth a light. And the five had their lights burning. They had oil in their lamps. Those vessels were working properly. They were holding something precious that would give forth light. And our vessels need to have that oil, that we would be burning that light brightly, that we would be the light to a dark nation, that we would be the salt of the earth, that we would portray the image of Jesus Christ. And we can read in Ephesians chapter 4 where that should be our goal, to become more and more like Christ. That should be our daily goal. But that goal is not complete till we have run our race completely. And we can read how Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he accomplished a lot. And yet when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, he wrote how far he was short of where he needed to be. He had not attained, he had not apprehended that for which he was apprehended for. What was it that he had not attained? He had not attained unto the resurrection from the dead. While we are on this earth, in these vessels that we possess, our work is not complete. When these vessels are broken and we are poured out as Jesus was poured out on that cross, then our journey is complete. But is that what we aspire to? Is that our goal from day to day, that we would strive to bear, to carry this cross? That we would bear the reproach of being a child of God? To deal with the darts of Satan trying to stop us, to hinder us, to hinder the work. It's not of ourselves. It never was. It's of God's Spirit working within us, but it is of our desire to let go, to yield to God's Holy Spirit, to become the vessels and to fill those vessels with what would glorify God. This is our greatest calling. And so as we consider baptism as a point of reference where we start a new life, the breaking down of the old self, a reforming of this vessel, there's a journey and adventure ahead for you three, as it is for the rest of us. And the calling is for all those that are outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, an invitation to be rid of your burden of guilt, to be rid of that fear that you have, that you would have that perfect love that casteth out fear, that you would have a love for the Lord, that you would have a purpose, a meaning in life, that you would know not only why you're living, but have that hope beyond this earth, that in a life to come, that you would be with the one that died for you. And I'm reminded of in Matthew chapter 20 where there was a great desire of this woman that brought her two sons, the sons of Zebedee, to Jesus. She had a desire, she had a good desire that her two sons would be at Jesus' right hand and left hand. A mother desiring something very good for her children. And Jesus asked them a question. Are you able to drink of the cup that I will drink? And they, in their innocence and maybe even ignorance, said, yes, we are able. He says, you will indeed drink of that cup. Are we ready to drink of that cup? We consider drinking that cup, the cup that Jesus drank of suffering, of sacrifice. Are we willing to drink of that cup? Are we able to drink of that cup? We are called to give all. If we were asked to sacrifice our lives, we heard the testimony of the three souls. They're willing to give up their lives if need be. That is the greatest calling. Is that something we run to or run from? According to the flesh, we run from it. In the spirit, we run to it because there's value. There's value in our shed blood, our love for the Master, our love for our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. The love for God that allowed his Son to come down upon this earth to die for you and for me. You might think, well, I'm not sure I want to drink of that cup. You know, we can read in Revelation that if you don't choose to drink of the cup of Jesus Christ, you'll drink of another cup, the cup of the wrath of God. The cup that we drink upon this earth, the cup of Jesus Christ, of his suffering, is but for a season. The cup of the wrath of God is into eternity, without end. So today, you make your choice. Which cup will you drink from? Which vessel will you aspire to be? Will you let God work in you? Will you allow yourself to be broken that you would be rebuilt in the image of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to walk in his footsteps to drink of that cup of suffering? Are you willing to have that vessel that has been rebuilt in the image of Jesus Christ be broken? Whether it be by thorns, nails, sword, fire, water. There's many ways Satan wants to get at us. He wants to sift us as wheat. And there may be a time when we are given up as a sacrifice. Are you willing to be broken? That you would have, that what would remain would be a glorified body. And that's what Apostle Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. He had no glory in this body down here below. He had suffering. He had whip marks on his back. He had the marks of suffering of Jesus Christ. But he knew that when he put off this tabernacle of this flesh, that when his race was run, he had a reward waiting for him, a new body. A body without suffering. To have the fullness of the glory of God within himself. And that promise is given to us as well. Today is the day. Now is the time. You choose which cup you want to drink. May God bless these words.
To the dear souls, is it your heart's desire to be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Zachary?
Yes.
Christina? Do you testify that you have repented toward God, forsaken sin, and placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you this day covenant? Excuse me, back up. Do you this day renounce the devil, the pleasures of sin, and the vanities of this world?
Yes.
Do you this day covenant to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to be faithful and obedient to him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Yes.
May it be according to the word of God and according to your faith. Let's turn to a hymn in the Zion Star, hymn 162. Hymn 162.
abundantly, with you, revealing unto you, opening your eyes, and making it plain to you that sin and the pleasures of sin quickly evaporate and are gone. Empty and had no lasting pleasure whatsoever. God was with you. His Holy Spirit pursued you. And I thank God that ultimately you turn to Him, ask Him for the grace to one step at a time, make progress, and here you are today, ready to be baptized in the death of Jesus Christ. According to your faith, according to your testimony, and according to the Word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matthew, I think you will agree, sin took you farther than you ever planned to go, kept you there longer than you ever intended to stay, and cost you more than you ever intended to pay. In the end, you were looking for a way to end it all. But I thank God that Jesus revealed to you that his vicarious death is not only the way to end it all through faith in him, but also to give you a brand new life in Christ, something more than you ever could have found yourself. I'm very grateful that you've turned to the Lord as you have, and for the faith that you've demonstrated in him and the faith that you profess to have. And according to your faith and according to the Word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christina, in our time together, you shared how far God has brought you, and it took a lot for you to learn about the love of God for you. The Bible tells us, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You struggled when your father passed, but God has given you the grace to understand that is his way, and as a result of the faith that you have seen both in him and your parents and the working of Jesus Christ in your life, you are now following the Lord Jesus into his death with the promise of his resurrection as well. I rejoice at the testimony that you gave last night and for the profession of your faith that you have. And according to your faith and according to the Word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Take it slow. All right.
Second Kings 41, verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Amen.
We come to a conclusion of this morning's worship service. Very thankful to the Lord for the many who have filled this sanctuary and even to the point of overflowing. My personal prayer truly is that the Lord would have spoken to all of us, but certainly to those of you who are not yet actively seeking Jesus Christ, and that you would really consider his loving call and his invitation, and that you would turn to him and seek your salvation as well. Just a word about the schedule. So immediately following a prayer that we'll have for lunch, the prayer will conclude the service as well as include the lunch. And all are welcome to stay for lunch. In the afternoon at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary here, there will be a service for the members in good standing of the Apostolic Christian Church Nazarene. In the tent, there will also be a special service provision for those who are not converted, not members yet. The Lord has you on our hearts, and so do we. So we're thankful that at that same 2 p.m. time frame, there will be a special provision for the non-members outside in the tent. As well, dinner is targeted for 5 p.m. All are welcome for dinner. And then, Lord willing, singing starts at 7 p.m. this evening. So a very full day in front of us, and we certainly pray for the Lord's blessing and presence in our midst on all of that. At this time, I'm going to ask the congregation to arise for prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Nick Potashan to lead us in that prayer. Please arise.
Heavenly Father, we come before thee with thankful hearts that thou hast done this great work in this day for these three souls, and that we could witness and be reminded, those of us that have made a covenant with thee, of our covenants that we have made, and to be reminded of our purpose here below. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all things, for in this day we saw thy love, we saw also witness thy power, in that through thy love thou continuest to call man, and through thy love that thou hast created that plan of salvation where man can have hope to be with thee up in heaven, O Heavenly Father. We saw that we witnessed thy power, and that thou art able to change the hearts of man, the minds of man, to create him a new creature, to live unto thee, to serve thee, and to do thy work here below. Heavenly Father, we saw that these vessels have been cleansed of the vials and sins of this world, that have been disinfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that those vessels would be full of faith, of love, of good works, and of hope to be with thee forever. Father, we pray that thou would continue to work in them and in all those also that have not made a covenant with thee, that these words would not have gone out empty, but that they would have pricked the hearts, that they would stir the hearts and sober the mind, that there are but two destinations. Though Satan would try to insert more roads and more avenues and more destinations, there are only but two. And because thou hast given us free will, that we are able to decide, and we will suffer the consequences. So, Father, may they think upon this, and may they put their lives in order that when they have to face thee, that they will not do it in fear and trembling and regret. Father, we pray that thou would continue to be with all of us. Bless this day. Pray that we thank thee for the food which thou hast provided even in this day for our flesh. Pray that thou would continue to be with us, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.